Well, I want to thank everyone over at Pave Fine Jewelry, and Raf and I have talked about this numerous times. You know, we love the years when we could go into the store, whether it was a food store, clothing store, whatever it was, and it wasn't a big box store or a big corporate store. Pave Fine Jewelry is exactly the what we love to do, where you go in and you see Laurie and Michael Enlick, and they design the jewelry, and it's down home, it's family. And it's something special in the world today. So 5496 College Avenue over in Oakland. Michael Enlick has been with me since I started. But it is a unique place in the world today. It's a throwback to what we want, the communication when we shop. And those are all my sponsors. They're all like that. So I thank them all one more time. Adam Copeland, how are you? Nice to have you with us this morning.
Good, Marty. Good to be with you, man. I can't believe it's our final hit of the year, man.
It's crazy. It's crazy. And Bill pointed it out. I mean, we didn't really have a winter last winter, you know, of baseball. And the show started, God, when the lockout stopped. And who knew what we were going to have this year? So I'll ask you what I've asked everybody. How do you sum up this year for the Giants coming off the heels of what happened last year?
I'd probably say bummer, you know. I mean, like, based on what we saw last year, and you mentioned the lack of an off season and a lack of a big winner. The one thing that did happen last winter is Buster Posey hung him up. That was the end of an era in Giants baseball, and so entering a new era, it's always strange. You think about 2008 after Barry Bonds left. Now you'll think about 2022 after Buster Posey leaves, and it's the beginning of something different in San Francisco Giants baseball. There is no face of the team right now. There is no established player who's going to be the leader for the next decade or the next generation of Giants baseball. We've maybe seen the start of some of that with guys like Logan Webb and Camilo Doval. We're starting to get the new names and faces and characters and guys who will be around for some time, but it's about, you know, starting a new era here. And I mentioned after Barry Bonds, that's kind of what happened back then. Bonds retired or left and didn't retire, and then you had Tim Lincecum, and you had Matt Cain, and you had Buster Posey come up, and you had a whole different wave of players. And so I think that's the transition phase we're in. So while I do think this year was sort of a bummer, I think in hindsight we'll look back at it and say it was a year of transition into the next wave of Giants baseball.
So is next year a transition year too, or do people arrive next year?
I think next year's a transition year as well, and I think transition years can be years where guys arrive. I do think you'll get Kyle Harrison. I imagine we'll get a longer look at Elliot Ramos. I don't know if we'll see Marco Luciano or not next year, but the Giants are in a position here, Marty, and you know this, where they're going to have to get more talent on the roster. Even if they're in a transition year, one big free agent signing is not going to solve the problems. They need five or six different guys from bullpen to starting pitchers to everyday players in the lineup, so it would be tough to say and expect that next year they'll be right back to where they were last year, because I'd expect there to be, and I would hope there would be, a whole different crop of players on this team next year, because what we saw this season was just not sustainable. It wasn't successful, and even winning 9 of 10 going into this weekend, it's not indicative of the team that we saw all season long, and you can't play all your games against the Rockies and Diamondbacks. So I think next year will still be a transition year.
Well, you guys talk, you and Tom talk to Farhan all the time. What do you think he's going to do? What do you think realistically he's going to do?
I think realistically he's going to have to get active in the trade market, because, again, I think they'll try to go out and, you know, everybody wants Aaron Judge or Xander Bogaerts or Carlos Correa. I would expect, and I really do hope, that they'll be in on some of those guys, but you're going to need more. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. Established big leaguers who aren't necessarily all-star caliber players, but guys who you can trust to put in there every day. And whether you acquire those guys via the trade market or you go out and you do it in free agency, we asked him, I asked him point blank, maybe about a month ago, maybe 5 weeks ago, I said, what do you think you need? What do you think needs to change? And he said, I think we need 5 to 6 everyday players. And right now they don't have that. So the fact that he's identified that and has acknowledged that, and we talk about the platoons, you can't get through a whole season with a roster of platoon players and expect great success. I expect him to be very active in the trade market, because he always is, but I really do hope that he's going to get some guys who we've seen as established major leaguers and stop sort of hinging or looking for the lottery ticket, because while Lamont Wade Jr. has been great, it was a down season for him this year, and it's tough to say he's established because we've only seen it once.
Yeah, and then the hope of baseball, this is what we love, this weekend it's going to turn around, or tomorrow that minor leaguer is going to come up and be the next Willie Mays. That's why we love baseball. It's always, we're selling hope, And that's even the day of the game. You're hoping that you're going to have a good day that day, and that's what baseball is all about. So give me a radical move that you think the Giants could make over the winter. Give me something you say, wow, I didn't see that coming.
They get Jacob DeGrom and Carlos Rodon. How about that?
Okay, very. That's good.
That would be awesome, wouldn't it? I mean, that would be incredible. If you were able to bring back Rodon and you went out and you got Jacob DeGrom, that would be fantastic.
I love it. No, you know, and I'll say it again. They have money. You know, they could do that. That's a good one. Very good.
Yeah,
I like that.
Everybody wants the bats, but you know, I'm partial to great starting pitching. It would be great, you know, and you can do that now in today's game, Marty, where you go for shorter years but bigger dollars, right? And so I think maybe that's something that even Jacob DeGrom could be looking at. So who knows? We'll see what happens. But it would be cool if they went a different direction while maybe still getting a big name bat or a big player in the middle of the lineup. It would be great if they bolstered the rotation as well.
All right, very good. What do you do with Evan Longoria? He's the consummate pro. He could be a manager someday. Big September. He's hitting the ball, but unfortunately less than 300 at bats. What do you do with him?
Well, it's kind of up to him, isn't it? Doesn't he have is it a player option? I guess it's a team option, right? For him to
right.
come back, it would be a team
right.
option. But he had talked briefly earlier this season to Susan Slusser about retirement. I think you may as well bring him back because I want to say it's a $13 million option, but he's got
the
a
total.
Buyout of like he's got a buyout that would make it like you have to pay him eight or five, something like
right.
that to walk away.
His buyout is five, and you got to pay him another eight. Yeah.
Right, so it may serve you better just to keep him around. I think you want some veterans like that. You want leaders on a young team like that, and I like having him around. I know he's not the Hall of Fame caliber player he was early in his career, but I think he can still hit lefties well. He doesn't play a terrible third base, and you have the DH, so I think he can serve as sort of a springboard for guys, or sort of a leader in the clubhouse. It wouldn't surprise me if he came back. I know he's had a really tough time out here just being away from his family. So hope he makes the best decision for him. But I wouldn't mind having Longoria back. I just don't know that you can have him in there as an everyday third baseman anymore.
Okay. Now, when I talked about this morning, and it really was the first time it came up, and we talked about Crawford. And I said, look, the whole free agent market, they're all shortstops. So what do? You bring in a shortstop. Can Crawford play other positions? And I was thinking second base, and Woe brought up the fact that he's the best athlete on the team. He could play anywhere. So maybe they can go out and get a shortstop and keep Crawford comfortable, maybe as second base, third base, or even as a part-time outfielder. How about that?
Yeah, I'd be open to that. I would prefer to see him at third or at second than in the outfield. I don't think he moves as great as you know, maybe some of the speed. I think they need to get better defensively in the outfield. I think they need to get younger, faster. The outfield is certainly a spot where you're going to need some other help. But, I would love to have Brandon Crawford hang around, and I know he's still got a year left on the contract, and if it meant getting another big-name free agent or high-priced shortstop, I would be open to that. You've got Dansby Swanson out there. You've got Trey Turner. You've got Xander Bogaerts, Carlos Correa. I mean, there's a whole bunch of names that it would be great if the Giants were in on one or two of them. But you got to Brandon Crawford's the best shortstop in San Francisco Giants history, and maybe franchise history going all the way back to New York. So, he's got to be open to that move. He's a team player. I would imagine if they came to him and transparently said all this to him that he would be open to the discussion. But, again, you got to hope that either the free agent is down to move a position or that Crawford would. But I'd prefer to have him at third or at second. Second would be great.
Mm. All right. How do you see the playoff? As I tell everyone all morning long, this three-game playoff is going to change everything in my mind for pitching staffs and everything else. How do you see this thing playing out this October?
You mean with the first, like the wild card series that we have now? The best
well,
three,
give me
is that
your
what
when it's all said and done, who's going to be standing there with the trophy, and how do they get it?
The Houston Astros are going to be standing there with the trophy. Dusty Baker is going to get his first championship. I've been hoping for that for years, Marty, and I know people still hate the Astros because of the cheating scandal. I say whatever. I'd like to see the Astros go do it again, sort of middle finger the rest of baseball and have Dusty be the guy on top. And it would be great if they did it against who should we have them beat?
That's the question. Who comes out in the National League?
I think the Braves are still just as dangerous as anybody with what they've done in the National League East. I still don't trust the Mets. I think the Mets are too shaky to get it done. The Dodgers are obviously a powerhouse, but we've seen them fall flat in the playoffs. I say the Braves win the pennant again. I could see the Braves doing it. They've got the lineup. They've got the pitching. They've got power. They've got defense. They've got a great manager. They've done it before. The Braves, don't be surprised if they win it all again. I think it could be the Braves and the Astros at the end here.
Okay. All right. Next year's going to look different without the shift, the pitch clock, yep. and everything else. It's going to look different next year. It's going to be a different game.
Yeah, it will. And I think it's, you know, I think baseball got to a point where they didn't want to have to add more rules, but we were sort of forced into this. We need to get the game back to being a watchable game, a versatile game, a game that's got more, that's got a more eclectic feel to it, where you have players that are singles hitters and doubles hitters and average hitters and guys who are not just defensive replacements, but guys who are, the game is so uniform now. Everybody plays it the exact same way. Every guy has the exact same approach. I like the game when you've got your Ichiro Suzuki and you've got your Barry Bonds and you've got your defensive guy at shortstop, your Nathan Perez. I want versatility in the game, but I want it to have an eclectic feel, and I think these rule changes can help us get back to that. So we'll see, but Theo Epstein, who I think was part of the problem, is now in the front office of Major League Baseball trying to fix the problem that he sort of started with analytics across the game, and it's obviously not all on him, but I think the rule changes ultimately will be positive.
Boy, it's going to be good. Adam, thanks so much, as always. What a great season. I appreciate you being on. I miss you.
I miss you too, Marty. I love you, man. Have a great start to the offseason. We'll talk soon, man.
All right. Be well. Talk to you during the year. All right. That's our show for today. Our talk back is coming up next. I'll do that with Dave Fleming right after this.